I'm Morag Hanna, and welcome to the University of Dundee's weekly look at the history and present of our city and university. As Scottish University of the Year, we deliver teaching and research that transforms lives across society. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the university becoming independent, we explore the remarkable people, discoveries, and events that have brought us here. For over 130 years, the whaling industry was of vital importance to the city of Dundee. Whale oil was used for lighting, soap, in women's fashions, and also in the jute industry, and for a period of time was indispensable. At the height of demand for whalebone, it changed hands on the Dundee quayside for up to £3,000 a ton. The industry was lucrative, and the men who signed on with the whale companies around Dundee's docks often earned more in one Arctic season than in several years of work in the mills. However, whaling was an incredibly dangerous and physically demanding endeavour, and the men certainly earned their money. There was danger not only from the tempestuous seas and freezing conditions, but also from the harpooned whales who often knocked boats over, drowning men in seconds in the freezing water, or stranding them on ice floes as their ship was carried away by pack ice. Many men lost limbs through frostbite or died from scurvy, and journals written by whalers make for harrowing reading. One disaster in Newfoundland claimed 25 men whose bodies froze together. In 1837, the Advice was wrecked, and of the 69 men on board, 59 perished. The Dundee whaling ships were built from wood so that they could bend with the pressure from the ice they moved through. These wooden ships fared better than iron ships, and were one of the reasons why Dundee was such a big player in the whaling industry. The ships were used to carry the men to where the whales were, and the men then disembarked to smaller, more nimble boats. The whales were chased, harpooned, and then processed. The whales they sought were called Greenland right whales, or, more formally, the Balaena mysticus. These huge beasts grew to lengths of 65 feet. A single whale could yield up to a ton of whalebone, and the blubber could produce as much as 7,000 gallons of marketable oil after it was boiled. Before the advent of town gas, the oil was used for street lighting, and by the jute industry to soften raw jute. However, by 1913, mineral oil, which was a great deal cheaper, had started to take whale oil's place, and this was a factor in the decline of the whaling industry. After the mid-1880s, Dundee was the only remaining whaling port in the UK, and by the 1890s, lost ships were not being replaced. In addition to the financial side of whaling, Dundee ships were of great significance scientifically, exploring remote regions in both the Arctic and Antarctic. Dundee whalers sailed uncharted seas where they mapped coastlines and wrote reports on topography, geography, and weather systems that until that point had not been documented. The Dundee Whaling Fleet Expedition of 1892 to 1893 was a commercial voyage from Scotland to Antarctica, during which the first known photographs of Antarctica were taken. The fleet, which had scientific officers on board, visited the Falkland Islands, the Joinville Island Group, and the Northern Trinity Peninsula. On the 8th of January 1893, Captain Thomas Robertson of the Active discovered Dundee Island. The success of the expedition led directly to the Scottish National Antarctic Expedition of 1902 to 1904, and of Dundee being chosen to build the Discovery for the Discovery Expedition of 1901 to 1904. Arctic whaling came to a close in Dundee just before the Great War in 1914. Tune in next week for another podcast from the series, subscribe to iTunes to get the podcast delivered to your inbox, and check out the website www.dundee.ac.uk/50 for extra material.